Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he, that is Jesus, was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for our brief time these weeks in the Gospel of Luke, and we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. Lord, nurture your people by the bread of your word, and draw us closer to Christ. Draw our attentions and our affections to Christ. We pray this in his name and to his glory. Amen. We are just taking a brief break from our series in Job. We started last Sunday looking specifically in Luke chapter 2 at the astounding way that the news of the birth of the Savior was first announced. We saw last week that it was announced to the shepherds in a very astounding fashion. These shepherds who had kept watch over their flocks night after night, month after month, year after year, generation after generation, standing on these hills, taking care of their sheep, the most mundane sort of work you can imagine. And suddenly, on that night, an angel burst in the glorious brilliance of light before them. And then he was surrounded by a myriad of angels, thousands, perhaps a million angels in the sky, announcing glory and peace. The Savior has been born. And we noted what was even more astounding than the way it was announced was to whom it was announced, that these were nobodies, the lowest of society, the poor, the unwise. And yet that's who God chose in his infinite wisdom to announce the good news of the gospel to first, that Christ had come. And as we move into Luke chapter 2 here, we see again the testimony to the fact that Jesus was the Christ. And I want to just look at our passage this morning in two sections, 2 points. And the first is Mary and Joseph's announcement and testimony that Jesus was the Christ. We see that in this passage. And then Simeon's testimony that Jesus was the Christ. In verse 21 and 22, we see that at the age of 8 days, Jesus was circumcised. This was according to the law. And then after a set period of time, verse 22, they went for purification. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This would have been at the temple. And according to Old Testament law, after 40 days of giving birth, a woman was required to go and make a sacrifice for purification. So you would have 8 days after the birth, the child would be circumcised. Then 32 days after that, for a total of 40 days, those who were able would go to the temple and they would offer a sacrifice. And if this was for their firstborn son, according to the law of Exodus, which is quoted here, verse 23, they would dedicate their firstborn to the Lord as kind of a symbolic first fruits offering. And so Jesus was their firstborn son, and so they are doing these things by the book. And we also are told here in verse 21 that the way they first identified Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, was that they called his name Jesus. We see that in verse 21. That is a testimony to his identity. And when the parents would go to circumcise their child, this is when they would formally name the child and say, this is who our child is. That's what we do at baptisms. That's what we did this morning. What is the Christian name of this child? And we formally say, this is this child's name. This is who this child is. And the name was very significant, especially in Bible times. Names were extremely significant. They told who the person was. They told something about the person's character. Often providentially, they identified who that person would grow up to be and what they would do. What was their purpose and primary impact during their life on this earth? And this boy was named Jesus, which means God saves. Yahweh saves. His name was Yahweh saves. And the fact that his parents named him that according to the command of Gabriel is very significant, because it's a testimony, it's an announcement, it's a pronouncement to the fact the great Savior had come into the world. And he primarily came to seek and to save those who were lost. He's the Messiah. And the parents recognized that. And they testified that truth by his name. And it's also very significant that they go through by the book in obedience, fulfilling these Old Testament requirements. The law required parents to bring their child, their sons, and have them marked by the sign of circumcision, the sign of the covenant. This was a reminder of sin. This was a reminder that we as sinners need a cleansing in our deepest, innermost parts. Just like baptism, we see a real link here between the two signs of the covenant. And so they bring him to be circumcised. And that naturally raises the question, if this is a sign that sinners need a spiritual cleansing, why in the world would you bring Jesus to receive a sign that sinners need spiritual cleansing? Surely Jesus did not need spiritual cleansing. He was not a sinner. Well, the reason is that God's law required it. God's law required it. God's law demanded that parents bring their children and be marked with the sign. And this is an act of obedience. So even before Jesus could consciously, as a human, as a man, comply to God's law, obey God's law, submit himself to God's law, and obey God's law, God in his providence was seeing that even as an infant, his earthly parents would see that he fulfilled every single aspect of the Old Testament ceremonial law before he's even consciously aware. And that's significant, because Jesus came to obey, not just as an adult, not just as a young man, not just as a youth, not just as a 12-year-old, but even as an infant, 8 days old, 40 days old, we see Jesus perfectly fulfilling every aspect of God's holy law. He is being prepared at the age of 8 days to be a perfect sacrifice in his early 30s. This is God's providence of preparation in the first days of life, preparing this child for what his mission would be as an adult. And I think that's very significant for us to remember and to realize as Christians, that Jesus's life for us, Jesus's life for you, was not restricted to the cross. The cross is not the whole story of the gospel. It's a very important component of the gospel story. But Jesus' entire life for you was lived in perfect obedience when he was a boy, when he was an infant. And if it had not been perfect, there couldn't have been a substitution at the cross. But because it was perfect, because at 8 days old it was perfect, he could go to the cross and God could treat Jesus as if he had lived your life and he can now treat you as if you had lived Jesus' life. Look at you as if you were perfect. Look at you as if you had kept the law perfectly, the ceremonial law, the moral law from the first days of your own life. That's the substitutionary atonement. That's the doctrine of justification. That's the great exchange. That we receive his righteousness, he receives our punishment. That's the gospel. And it's worked out at day 8, beginning to be worked out, and will be for the rest of his life. Hebrews 2:10 says that God made the founder of our salvation perfect through suffering. And the idea there is not that Christ was imperfect at any point, but the idea is that he was being completed. His whole life was a life of maturing into completion, maturing into that perfect, spotless sacrifice that would be acceptable to the Father as a substitute for the punishment that we deserve to pay as sinners. And so for his whole life, we see Jesus living on your behalf, living a perfect life, suffering on your behalf, obeying on your behalf. And his parents were seeing that that would happen. And they called his name Jesus, God saves. But then secondly, we see in this passage another testimony to the fact that Jesus was the Christ, and an announcement to that effect in this figure, Simeon. I love Simeon. This is just one of those mysterious, seemingly inconsequential figures that just kind of pop out of nowhere in the pages of Scripture, and then they're gone. And if you read it, you're very likely to miss it the first time or two or three. But very important, a very erudite pastor commented recently on this passage that this is the best of the Old Testament and the New Testament in one concise package. And you really see that in Simeon. He is an Old Testament prophet on the one hand, and yet he bridges a gap because he takes the child into his arms and meets the Christ and ushers in a new and complete era. We're not told anything about Simeon. We're not told where he lived. We're not told what he did, where he came from, what his occupation was. All we're told is there's Simeon, and he was righteous and he was devout. Verse 25. There's a man named Simeon in Jerusalem, and this man was righteous and devout. He was righteous. That means he had been forgiven of his sins. This was a man who did not trust in his own works, but he had placed his trust in the promises of God and the promises of a coming Savior, and that was credited to him as righteousness. And we're also told that he was devout. That word devout's an interesting word too. It literally can be translated cautious or careful. So you get the sense that he was a man who was justified. He was righteous because of his faith in God. And flowing out of that, he was a man who was careful, who was cautious, who was devout to be obedient to God. He was conscientious to honor God. Which really, in a nutshell, is anyone who has been born again. Anyone who has been born again has been credited the righteousness of Christ. We receive the righteousness for the perfect life that he lived. And as a result of that, the work of sanctification begins in our own lives. Our lives as Christians should be marked as cautious and careful in terms of a growing desire and a growing anxiousness to be obedient to God's law. It's a lifelong process of sanctification. becoming more holy in God's sight, dying day by day to our own sin and to our own selfishness, living for Christ. It takes care. It takes devotion. It takes work. That's how Simeon's described in just those two words. And that's really about all we know of his character. I would say that's what's most important. At the end of the day, at the end of life, I really can't think of a better way to be described than as someone who was righteous because of Christ and devout, careful to be obedient to his word. That's what life's about. And that's who Simeon was. And the other thing we're told about Simeon was that at some point in his life, it had been revealed to him miraculously by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die before he laid eyes on the Christ. Which is really interesting to think about. What would that be like if the Lord miraculously revealed to you, you're not going to die until you hear the trumpet blast and the angel shout and the sky split apart and the Lord Jesus Christ come to earth? That would be an exciting thing, wouldn't it? To know absolutely on confirmation from God that you were going to be an eyewitness to the next coming of Jesus Christ. We're told in the scriptures to repeatedly to live our lives in preparation and to be prepared because Christ could come. But I don't know how many of us truly take it to heart that Christ could return right now at this moment. This could be the end of all things, any second now. Or it could be another 2,000 years. I don't know. But what if you were told personally, you will not die until Christ comes again? That's kind of the sense of how Simeon lived his life. He was told that he was going to see the Christ. So you can imagine on one hand, he would be excited that he's going to live to see this event. But on the other hand, you could imagine he would be pretty anxious knowing that he better be ready, because he's going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ live and in person. And so he goes to the temple day after day after day. You find this old mysterious man wandering around in the temple gates, looking, checking, seeking to see if the consolation of Israel had come. Verse 25, it says, this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a loaded term. That's a direct reference to the Messiah, the consolation, the comforter. You see that all throughout Isaiah. This idea that Christ was going to come and comfort his people, console his people, and make peace with man and God a reality. And so here's Simeon, day after day after day, going to the temple, looking to see if the Messiah had come. And one day, he walks into the temple, and he sees this poor couple with this tiny little one-month-old baby. And the Holy Spirit reveals to him, verse 27, he came in the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit revealed to him, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, they were there to make sure this sacrifice, future sacrifice, this future perfect spotless lamb would be perfect. They were there to do for him what was according to the custom of the law. Simeon took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He took Jesus Christ, the salvation of the world, into his arms, into his hands. And as he's holding the salvation of the world in his hands, he blesses God. And he begins to pray, or perhaps sing. Verses 29 through 32 are written as if they are a hymn, a song. He begins to sing to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father in heaven. because he had now met Jesus Christ. So we're going to stop there this morning, and next week on Christmas Day, I want to look at the prayer, the song, the hymn of Simeon. At this point in the gospel story, Mary and Joseph know who Jesus is, the shepherds know who Jesus is, and Simeon knows who Jesus is. And because of that, they could now live this life for Jesus Christ, and they could leave this world with no regrets. The peace of God had come to them, and they would experience that perfect, everlasting peace in eternity that only comes through the Son. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this encouraging passage of Scripture. We thank you for this profound and transcendent sense of joy that is made evident in the life of Simeon. And we thank you for that profound and transcendent sense of joy that we experience when we know Christ, who is our peace. Lord, impress that upon us this day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.